welcome everyone to season 2 of the 4 True Crime Idiots podcast. I'm Mike.
I'm Ruben.
I'm Ben.
And I'm Michelle, and we're the hosts of the 4 True Crime Idiots podcast.
Welcome back, guys.
Hey, how's everyone doing?
We made it to season 2.
We did.
We did.
Yes, we did.
We have some interesting cases in the season. Today we'll be covering Samuel Little, one of America's most prolific serial killers.
So he killed 93 people.
93. Wow.
How many was he convicted of?
Not that many, right?
So he claimed that he killed 93, but he wasn't.
No, I read that 60 something were confirmed, but like he was only convicted for like so many of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's
me. Welcome to the 4 True Crime Idiots podcast, Idiot Criminal Club. And here is today's Idiot Criminal Club inductee.
Police imposter pulled over van full of police detectives in New York. And this is from August 20th, 2019, by the POL staff from policemag.com. A New York man was arrested Friday after he allegedly tried to pull over a van full of police detectives. According to Fox News, the man identified as 25-year-old Valerie Portlock reportedly activated emergency lights and sounded an air horn as he attempted to pull the van over in the Long Island town of Hicksville. When the occupants of the van, members of the Nassau County Police Department's electronic squad, identified themselves, Portlock reportedly fled the scene. He was later arrested by Highway Patrol and charged with criminal impersonation, reckless endangerment, and fleeing the police. That's bad luck.
What are the chances of that, please?
I know.
Very bad luck.
The last.
Yeah, there it was.
An air horn?
I didn't know they still use air horns.
And they stopped. If someone drew an air horn at you, would you guys stop your vehicle?
Well, if I was a cop, yes. Arrest the guy.
Well, yeah. Yeah, true.
It's pretty embarrassing.
Let's get on to the main case now. The case of Samuel Little.
Samuel Little was an American serial killer who confessed to murdering 93 people. All were women. The FBI's VICAP, which stands for Violent Criminal Apprehension Program, has confirmed Little's involvement in at least 60 of the 93 confessed murders, the largest number of cases for any serial killer in United States history.
So he said he killed 93 people, right?
And 60 are confirmed, yeah.
That's still a lot.
Yeah. That's still a lot.
That's still a lot.
Where do you keep them?
I think he would just get rid of them, right?
Yeah. He would just toss them.
He was all over the place.
Yeah.
He was even wherever?
He was a drifter.
Oh, I see.
Different states.
He would just get him wherever. Like, he wouldn't, like, lure him, right, to, like, wooded areas. So it was just, like, if you ran into them at the store, or they're at the house or whatever.
Yeah.
That's creepy.
Yeah. Let's talk about his early life.
Samuel Little was born June 7, 1940, in Reynolds, Georgia, to a mother he claimed was a prostitute. Soon after his birth, Little's family moved to Lorain, Ohio, where he was brought up mainly by his grandmother. He attended Hawthorne Junior High School, where he had problems with discipline and achievement. By his own account, he began having sexual fantasies about strangling women as a child, starting when he saw his kindergarten teacher touch her neck. As a teenager, he collected true crime magazines depicting women being choked.
As far as young as him being in kindergarten when it happened, that's crazy.
That's weird.
BTK looked at those magazines, right? True crime magazines?
Yes.
You did?
Yeah.
Ted Bundy?
Have you all seen the Clover Hitch?
Killer, or no.
The Clover Hitch? Is it the Clover Hitch Killer? Right?
I think I have, yeah.
Is that supposed to be loosely based on the BTK killing?
Kind of, I guess.
Because it kind of depicted a little bit. You know how they were saying that he would dress himself up in women's clothing and take pictures of himself hanging or whatever in women's clothing?
Right?
In this movie, there's a scene where the guy did that. He was in, I think he was in the process. I think his family had gone out of town.
Uh-huh.
And so he was already getting that itch to start killing again. And when they were out of town, they showed a scene where he was all in his wife's, heels and her pantyhose and he had a wig on. And he had like a noose hanging. And I'm like, what is this guy going to do?
Yeah.
But he couldn't, I don't know what happened. I think he got interrupted and he got off his stuff.
His stuff.
Yeah. It was a good movie, though. Y'all should watch it. Cloverfield.
Yeah, that's a good monster movie.
It is. I don't know about part two, but I like the first one.
You like the second one?
Nah, not really. I like the first one. I don't know why. But see, it's so weird though, because like you asked me out of all the Rocky ones, Rocky IV is my favorite. I never really liked
I like that one.
You like that one?
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that one was like better than the first one? Which one do you think out of those? Yeah.
I didn't care for the first
one. Me neither, right? Okay, I don't feel bad.
Wow. We are
so I know. Weird. I never really cared for it. Like, I would watch it, but just so, you know. I'm like, I don't know.
He lost.
You know, that not because he lost, though, because he was really, like, whining with Mikey or Mickey because he didn't want to train him.
Rocky Bubble was a whining bitch. Okay, let's get back to the case.
In 1956, after being convicted of breaking and entering into property in Omaha, Nebraska, Little was held in an institution for juvenile offenders. Little moved to Florida to live with his mother in the late 1960s, working at various times as a cemetery worker and ambulance attendant, by his own account.
I wonder what cemetery workers do.
What would he do there?
Yeah, I don't know. What do they do?
I think though they just pretty much just do like the yard work and make sure like the headstones are clean and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Right? And just kind of, when they're not really secure, maintain.
Your parents?
Yeah.
Would you ever do a cemetery work?
Nope. No way. Well,
I think I would.
Why not?
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, if all you're doing is going to be outside watering and just, you know, making sure the grass is good.
And the ghost shouldn't be in the cemetery, right? Because they really didn't die there at the cemetery.
I mean, that's true.
Right?
Because
oh, yeah, that's true.
They always say your spirit hunts where you're...
Where you were.
Unless... Yeah. Your spirit wanders, and it just goes to where you're thought of.
You wander to the cemetery?
That's your home, bud. I don't know. Right?
Maybe.
Because with the wife, I mean, you bring up a good point, because then there's no reason to be scared.
Yeah. Let me know if I'm wrong, people, or listeners.
Why would you do a night shift, though? That's a good question.
I don't mean night shift. Yeah, no.
Would you do a night shift? Yeah, they say, like, you don't need to just, you know, just make sure, you know, no one's breaking in and everything.
Maybe. Depending. I don't know.
It'll probably be the most spookiest time to do it.
Yeah.
Exactly. It'd be the most fun time, too.
Until you see something.
Until you see something.
Which you won't, because there's no ghosts in cemeteries.
Like you're right.
You're very right.
Yeah, should the ghost be?
Okay, you can just salt and put it around you. Like that, and you'll be fine.
So he was already a troubled kid.
Starting all the way from kindergarten.
It's pretty early.
Yeah.
And it seems like, oh, look at those detective magazines, true detective magazines. The serial killers. I think BTK looked at them.
Yeah. Well, like you said.
Yeah.
Did you ever read them?
Nope.
What?
Those detective magazines?
Oh, no.
Well, I might. I might start. I might start to read
them. He said he then began traveling more widely and had more run-ins with the law, being arrested in 8 states for crimes that included driving under the influence, fraud, shoplifting, solicitation, armed robbery, aggravated assault, and rape.
How old was he here?
I don't know what you're saying. Okay.
20s?
Really a hard question? Michelle's
late,
here.
Late 20s?
Sorry.
Maybe.
Yeah, probably late 20s.
Wow.
Maybe early 20s.
So... He started in his late 20s then? Or did he start earlier than that?
We don't know. Probably earlier.
Earlier
what,
than that?
Killing?
Yeah, his killings.
Oh, killing. I don't know.
Because he already did, he already did the rape right here.
Yeah.
So that's in his late 20s, but...
Wait, how do we know how old he was?
Well, he was born in 1940. And then by the 1960s, it says... Yeah, in 1956... In 1956, he was already being convicted of breaking and entering, and that's 16. So
he was somewhere in his 20s when he started it.
Yeah.
Little claimed that he took up boxing during his time in prison, referring to himself as a former prize fighter.
So he was lying about him being a prize fighter?
I don't know.
Or was he actually a good boxer?
I never heard of him.
Yeah. I never heard of him either, but I guess he was saying
in
that.
In prison.
In prison, he was going around saying, I think he was in prison saying he was a former prize fighter.
Yeah, in prison.
Because he took it up He says there, that he took up boxing during his prison time.
Okay.
Sorry.
Can't win prizes in prison.
No, but he was saying that he was saying that. Prize.
I won a title.
The belt.
But why wouldn't you come out and pursue that if you're so good?
True.
Right.
Reputation. You want a reputation in prison, I guess.
To be the healing center.
Yes. Now let's talk about his crimes.
In 1961, Little was sentenced to 3 years in prison for breaking into a furniture store in Lorraine. He was released in 1964. By 1975, he had been arrested 26 times in 11 states for crimes including theft, assault, attempted rape, fraud, and attacks on government officials.
26 times in 11 states? Yep. This guy was everywhere.
Yep.
How long did they keep him each time he was arrested, though? Obviously not long enough. He was doing it.
Seems like the crime just went on today.
Yeah, man.
Like, what?
Like the criminals, they don't go to jail very long.
Oh, I know, right?
Yeah, if they go to jail.
Or they do that whole when they're on bail, where they're out and about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what does it mean, attacks on government officials?
Probably police. Or
where did you see that?
Maybe
when they were going to...
Maybe like a resistant arrest?
Yeah. Maybe when they were arresting him, he was fighting them off.
I like picturing him attacking like a mayor or something. City council.
Maybe. It doesn't say resisting arrest.
Yeah, maybe it is the officers.
Prison officers, guards.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe when he was in prison, attacking the guards.
I wonder if he was in solitary a lot. Do they still have that?
I think so.
Yeah.
Going down the whole bloody slap the guard.
Beat the shit out of him. Yes. In 1982, Little was arrested in Pascagoula, Mississippi, and charged with the murder of 22-year-old Melinda Rose LePray, who had gone missing in September of that year. A grand jury declined to indict him for her murder.
Were these random ladies, or were they like street workers, or it was just randomly just putting on? Like, did he had like a type?
Balls?
Yeah.
Wait, are you asking that off the record or for the podcast?
Either one.
Oh.
I mean, that's fine, but it's just because usually each they, some of them like usually have a type, right?
Yeah, like the mirror workers that we go after.
The street workers, right? Yeah. And then Ted Bundy was just going after whoever would go out with him, right?
Say hi.
Hey. He looked at him.
You did.
I think most were sex workers.
Sex workers, right?
I think.
I wonder why they didn't indict him.
Not enough evidence, maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know. Why wouldn't you?
Well, that's my thing. Like, he kept getting arrested and getting put in jail, but they kept letting him out. So.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't make sense.
And then he kept going back, doing the same thing over and for the same thing. So at what point does the judge decide to be like, okay, you're going to have to stay in here longer than just a couple of months because you just keep repeating yourself. And that's kind of sad because if they had one of them could have done that, pretty sure half of these victims would still be here.
Yep.
Well, it was in different states, so maybe the judges didn't always know.
I keep forgetting he was going from state to state. He was just
that's true.
He was kind of smart then, huh?
However, while under investigation, Little was extradited to Florida and tried for the murder of 26-year-old Patricia Ann Mount, whose body was found in September 1982. Prosecution witnesses identified Little in court as a person who spent time with Mount on the night before her disappearance. Due to mistrust of witness testimony, she was acquitted in January
1984. What does that mean?
Does that mean that the witness, when he testified, he
the witness?
He put false claims?
Yes.
And so he had to... Oh, so... Because of that, he was acquitted. They couldn't do it even if it was true, and somehow that witness
messed it up. Yeah.
And he was out, and then...
Talk about lucky.
Bad witnesses. Little moved to California, where he stayed in the vicinity of San Diego. In October 1984, he was arrested for kidnapping, beating, and strangling 22-year-old Laurie Barros, who survived. 1 month later, he was found by police in the backseat of his car with an unconscious woman, also beaten and strangled, in the same location as the attempted murder was of Barros. Little served 2.5 years in prison for both crimes.
So he served 2.5 years?
Yeah.
For both of those crimes?
Yeah.
All right. The one that was a month later, after Laurie Barros, was she dead or she was alive? Because she was beaten and strangled.
She was unconscious.
She was unconscious.
She survived.
She survived. So that's why his timeless wasn't so severe. Yeah. Okay, because I was like,
attempted murder, though, for 2.5 years.
Well, either way.
Seems lenient.
Yeah.
You would think he would get, like,
more?
10? For attempted? 20?
That would be a 5 or 10.
10 for 5 years for each? I don't know how it works.
Me neither. But I would think you would get more than 2 years.
More than 2 years?
Yeah.
Upon his release in February 1987, he immediately moved to Los Angeles and committed at least 10 additional murders.
So he killed 10 more people after that?
Yeah.
I don't know why they keep on releasing this guy.
So when he was released in 87 and he killed those additional 10 more murders, he was never caught for those until like later?
I guess so.
Let's move on to his arrest now.
Lil was arrested on September 5th, 2012 at a homeless shelter in Louisville, Kentucky, and extradited to California to face a narcotics charge, after which authorities used DNA testing to establish that he was involved in the murders of Carol Eileen Ilford, killed on July 13, 1987, of Adaka, killed on September 3rd, 1987, and Audrey Nelson Everett, killed on August 14, 1989. All three women were killed and later found on the streets of Los Angeles.
So this is probably...
after he got out of prison.
Again, people, why were they releasing him?
So this was... Were those three part of it? Part of the 10 additional murders?
Oh, I don't know.
I think so.
Right?
Yeah. He was extradited to Los Angeles, where he was charged on January 7, 2013. A few months later, the police said that Little was being investigated for involvement in 36 murders committed in the 1980s, which until then had been undisclosed. In connection with the new circumstances in Mississippi, the La Prairie murder case was reopened. In total, Little was tested for involvement in 93 murders of women committed in many U.S. states.
So he was tested for them?
Yes.
What does that mean? He was tested for them?
I have no idea.
This is probably DNA.
Oh, yeah, probably like DNA. And they probably found
like 60 of them.
60 of them out of the 93. And I'm wondering if the rest of it, maybe it was because it got washed away or something.
Yeah, in jurisdiction, nobody knew.
Yeah, true.
Because he was able to slip by too, right?
Yeah.
Without him being arrested, obviously.
Yeah.
For him.
Because they're old cases.
This guy was a monster.
Mm-hmm.
Psychopath.
Now we'll talk about his trial and his incarceration.
Little was tried for the murders of Ilford, Nelson, and Apodaca on September 2014. The prosecution presented the DNA evidence as well as testimony of witnesses who were attacked by the accused at different times throughout his criminal career.
Okay, so what happened?
They presented DNA evidence.
And witnesses, right?
Witnesses, yeah. Who were attacked. Surviving witnesses.
So, that's how they...
Well, yeah, of course, survivors. How else would they be witnesses?
Oh, my God.
Well, one time there was a ghost witness. One time there was a ghost witness. I think I heard about that once.
Oh, really?
How did that happen?
So, it was on one of the YouTube channels.
Really?
What? How did that work?
I don't know. There was a ghost. Was like a witness.
How did they do that, though?
It was like back in like the 1800s or 1700s.
Oh, it was like way back in the day.
Way back in the day.
The town psychic to come speak for them. It came through there, probably. They probably had a seer there. Have you seen those old photos? And they have the seers and they have their mouth open. The ectoplasm's coming out of their mouth and it's like taking like an 1869. I'm like, wow.
No, because I don't know what you look up.
Ghost stuff. That's what I looked up.
Weird.
Oh, whatever. You're into it, too.
Stay quiet, Ben.
Right, Ben? He's into the ghost stuff, too?
Okay. Let's move on to the shenanigans.
I'm going to look that up.
On September 25th, 2014, Little was found guilty and was sentenced to life imprisonment without possibility of parole. On the day of the verdict, Little continued to insist his innocence. So he was still saying he was innocent.
What happened?
So he was still, Michael said he was still saying he was innocent.
He was innocent from those murders?
He was claiming to be.
from everyone, really.
Even
after DNA, DNA evidence and all.
I know, right? Especially that time that they found him with the unconscious woman in the back of his car, all beaten and stuff. But he didn't do it. He just found her.
Yeah. She walked into his car.
She walked to her car. He walked to his car and she was there, all beaten and unconscious.
Before his death, Lil was serving a sentence at the California State Prison in Los Angeles County.
Okay, so he said he's innocent. Or he said he was innocent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess he confessed later on.
Yeah.
Is what we're about to talk about.
Yeah, so that would make sense. He's innocent, but later on he's going to confess.
It's probably when they found DNA, it's probably how he confessed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, true.
Maybe like he was all like, no, I didn't do any of that shit. And they're like, no, dude, we found the evidence. And then, but then again, you think he would just be like, all right, I only did like that much, but he goes and he confesses to like, I don't know how many more.
All right.
Who knows?
Now we're going to get into his later confessions. What does that mean, later confessions?
I guess maybe when they already said that they have DNA to prove that he did those to the woman that they found,
mm-hmm.
then maybe like he was just kind of like, oh, okay.
Maybe I had more.
I did.
There's
more.
No point.
Yeah, there's no point in denying it. Well, now I did more than that. But it wasn't like, wasn't it like that with the Green River Killer? When he was like saying, denying that he didn't do anything? And then And then they're all like, well, we have evidence that you did it for at least this many women. And then he's
okay,
like,
okay, you got me.
You didn't even let me finish my story. Can you like interrupted me?
What? No, it's
that was lame.
Never mind. I wasn't doing it on purpose.
I know. But like, you saw my point, though.
Yeah.
I know. Because we ended up even about the ghost witness. So he believes.
Watch it right now. Now let's talk about his later confessions.
On November 9th, 2018, Lil confessed to the 1996 fatal strangulation of Melissa Thomas. On November 13th, 2018, Lil was charged with the 1994 murder of Denise Chrissy Brothers in Odessa, Texas, after having confessed the crime to a Texas Ranger in May 2018. Lil pleaded guilty to the murder of Brothers on December 13th and received another life sentence. The Ector County District Attorney and Wise County Texas Sheriff's Office announced on November 13th that Little had confessed to dozens of murders and may have committed more than 90 across 14 states between 1970 and 2005.
And they caught him in what year?
13. No, it was 12. Is that 12?
2012.
Yeah, he was
40 years.
He was very active.
Was any of those murders, did they ever cross interference with any of the other murders, serial killers' murders?
Probably.
You know what I'm trying to get at?
Yeah.
Or maybe. He was everywhere.
Yeah. He was everywhere, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen like he was in the United States.
Could have crossed paths with other guys, other people, serial killers.
That would be weird, right? If he and another one was like at the same time, mm-hmm. in the same city, mm-hmm. at the same time killing somebody, and they were both getting charge for each other's crimes. You know what I'm trying to get at?
Yeah.
Because,
mm-hmm. like, what if one of Ted Bundy's victims wasn't really his victims, but it turned out to be this guy's over here?
I wonder if that's ever happened.
Right? But, like, how do they determine on which state he's going to be charged in if he's going to different? Is it the where he killed the most?
I'm not sure how they decided that part. Interesting. That's an interesting. Good question.
All right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one.
Good question.
On November 15th, 2018, the Russell County, Alabama District Attorney announced that Little had earlier that month confessed to the 1979 murder of 23-year-old Brenda Alexander, whose body was found in Phoenix City, Alabama. On November 16th, 2018, Macon County, Georgia sheriffs announced that Little had credibly confessed to the 1977 strangling murder of an unidentified woman and the 1982 strangling murder of an 18-year-old Fredonia Smith. In the fall of 2018, Little confessed to the 1982 murder of 55-year-old Dorothy Richards and the 1996 murder of 40-year-old Daisy McGuire. Both of their bodies were found in Houma, Louisiana. On November 19, 2018, Harrison County, Mississippi Sheriff Troy Peterson said that Little had confessed to strangling 36-year-old Julia Critchfield in the Gulfport area in 1978 and dumping her body off a cliff.
So where was the cliff?
It says the Gulfport area.
Let me know if you're from Mississippi. You all have cliffs.
So, were these, like, sex workers?
I don't know.
Because they never really talked about, like, their family, like, reporting them missing or,
right.
or nothing like that, right?
Maybe. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know.
Well, I mean, age wasn't a...
He didn't care how old you were.
Yeah, he didn't care about the age. I'm just trying to figure out what his type was.
He's
probably didn't have one.
Right?
His thing was just strangulation.
On November 20th, 2018, Lee County, Mississippi law enforcement officials announced that Little had admitted to killing 46-year-old Nancy Carol Stevens in Tupelo, Mississippi in 2005, and that the case would be presented to a grand jury in January 2019. On November 21st, 2018, Richland County, South Carolina authorities announced that Little had confessed to murdering 19-year-old Evelyn Whiston, whose body was found near Fort Jackson, South Carolina in 1978. Little confessed to having killed 20-year-old Rosie Hill in Marion County, Florida in 1982. On November 27, 2018, the Federal Bureau of Investigation announced that a violent criminal apprehension program team had confirmed 34 of Little's confessions and was working to match the remainder of Little's confessions to known murders or suspicious deaths.
So how many did he kill in each city that he was in? Did they ever say like how long he was in each city?
No.
Because it just seems like he did what he did, and then he was in jail. And then when he got out, he was like leaders, and he went to the next one.
Yeah.
I guess maybe just until he got caught.
Yeah, this guy was just crazy.
Would you like, from what we're hearing so far, would say he was a little bit worse than Bundy and the Green River Killer and BTK?
I think so, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Maybe even Gacy?
Yeah.
How many did Gacy kill?
33.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, this guy's... It gets worse.
It gets worse?
No, this guy's worse.
Oh. Wait, it gets worse? Wow. Even the Green River Killer? Because the Green River killed how many? Only about 80. Like
70-something, no.
Was it like 80-something, right? But he only was tried for 40?
Oh, man. Go ahead and ask that question.
I forgot
that. We covered that.
Oh, shit. Hey, it was a while back. We're allowed to forget.
Yeah,
we're season two. Go back to our files. I'm sorry.
How many? Was it like 80?
I had a question that it was like 80 that he was tried for, but only like half of that.
He confessed, like he said he killed like over 80.
Over 80.
Yeah. I think
so. He was like maybe not in competition, but like he's up there with this guy.
Yeah.
So it'll be like maybe like this guy will be number one. Sadistic. Sadistic killings. One of sadistic. Is that wrong?
Are you saying sadistic or sadistic?
Sadistic. Yeah.
Just what I say. I'm hearing numbers in your city.
No, but so you would say that he was the worst one?
I would say so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll see.
And it took him this long to get him.
DNA.
Yep.
Little began making the confessions in exchange for a transfer out of the Los Angeles County prison in which he was being held. One included his confession to a previous cold case homicide in Prince George's County, Maryland. Previously one of two homicide cases in that county with unidentified victims.
So he would like bargain?
He would bargain. When he would get arrested, he would bargain?
Not bargain, but... Yeah,
never mind. No, I know what you mean. Like, when they're trying to get him to confess, he'll be like, I'll confess to you this, then you do this.
Yeah. Is that what he was doing? Is that what I understood?
I think so, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. He wanted to get transferred.
Yeah. Oh, he didn't want to be. I wonder if they were giving him a hard time.
I should know.
In December 2018, Little was indicted for strangling 23-year-old Linda Sue Borst in May 1981 in Warren County, Kentucky. Her body was found on May 15, 1981, near U.S. Route 68.
It took him that long to indict him? Wow.
One of Little's victims was identified in December 2018 as Martha Cunningham, of Knox County, Tennessee, who was 34 years old when Little murdered her in 1975. On May 31, 2019, Cuyahoga County, Ohio prosecutors announced indictments with 4 counts of aggravated murder and 6 counts of kidnapping that accused Little of killing Mary Jo Payton in 1984, and Rose Evans in 1991, and Cleo. Both victims were strangled and dumped. The body of Rose Evans, 32, was found on August 24, 1991, in a vacant lot on East 39th Street. She left her hometown of Binghamton, New York, when she was 17. Evans had been strangled, according to coroner Elizabeth K. Balraj.
Yeah, he was busy.
Yeah.
Six, seven, bitch.
Seven, bitch. Damn heathen sinner.
Yeah.
As for Peyton, an anthropologist had to create a model of what she looked like, but she remained unidentified until 1992, when Cleveland put her thumbprint in an FBI database and got a match. Little picked up Peyton at a bar near East 105th and Euclid Avenues. He described her as a short, plump woman in her 20s with brown hair. Little confessed to killing another Cleveland woman in 1977 or 1978. The woman murdered in 1977 or 1978 was found on March 18, 1983, in Willoughby Hills, Ohio, according to the National Missing and Unidentified Persons System, NAMIS. She was likely black and somewhere between 17 and 35 years old. The woman's body had been dumped down a grassy slope near a fence in a wooded area just off Interstate 271. When her body was found by a man walking his dog, only her skeleton, some clothing, and jewelry remained.
Wow.
Little confessed to killing one woman in Akron, Ohio, two in Cincinnati, one of the bodies was dumped outside of Columbus, Ohio, and one woman he met in Columbus and disposed of in Kentucky. Of the two women Little murdered in Cincinnati, one was identified as Anna Stewart, 33, whose body was dumped in Grove City, Ohio. Stewart was last seen on October 6, 1981, getting out of a cab at General Hospital to see her sister in the hospital, now University of Cincinnati Academic Health Center. She was killed on October 11.
Okay, so he was busy in Ohio, too.
Yeah.
So he's been in Ohio, he's been in New York.
California.
California, Kentucky. Where was he born? Where was he born and raised again?
In Georgia.
Georgia. But in Georgia, he didn't do any killings. In Georgia, he was just robbing everybody and assaulting women. And then that's where he pretended to be a prize fighter in the prison over there. What, he did prison in Georgia, or was that prison somewhere else when he pretended to be
in California?
So he's been in California,
yeah.
Ohio, Kentucky. The killings, though, right? Yeah. Those are the ones in New York?
Was it New York?
Was it in New York?
No. I mean, one of the victims was from New York.
Oh, okay.
He killed the other woman between 1980 and 1999. The Jane Doe was anywhere from 15 to 50, as the details of her age and the date of her murder are unclear. She was black, slender, wore glasses, and lived in the over-the-Rhine neighborhood of Cincinnati with a heavy Hispanic female. Little left her beside a cigarette billboard in Ohio.
All these, right now, he's describing all the murders that he did while he was in Ohio?
Did he get
someone? Yeah. On June 7th, 2019, Little was indicted in Hamilton County, Ohio, for murdering the two women killed in Cincinnati. Little had drawn portraits of many women he killed. These portraits were released by the FBI in hopes of someone identifying the women.
So they were kind of like, I guess what you would say, like, what, runaways? And maybe they were, maybe not so much street workers, but maybe they were the type that were just like loners and just kind of to themselves a little bit. Because I had never once anyone said, like, oh, well, their parents were looking for them, or a net reported them missing, or they were living with so-and-so and she didn't come home.
That's why she never went home.
Well, I mean, maybe their home life wasn't all that.
True.
And they had to go out somewhere, but I mean, I know what you mean.
At least one portrait solved a cold case in Akron, Ohio. In November 2020, Little confessed to two Florida murders, for one which another man had been wrongfully convicted.
So they arrested the wrong man?
Yeah.
Wow.
I wonder if he was in the same prison as he was, you know, trying to get at? Well, was the guy arrested before he got arrested, you know, trying to get at?
Yeah.
So,
right, apparently he was the other guy who was arrested first.
Yeah, he was already convicted. Yeah.
I wonder if they let him go. No.
Yeah. Okay. They have to, unless he was dead.
Yeah.
Right?
It's true.
Yeah.
I would have asked to talk to him. Let me talk to Little for a little bit. Oh. You son of a bitch. But they never really say how long he was in each city, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like a few years.
Maybe like two tops, I would say, right?
Let's discuss the unmatched confessions now.
Okay, but what does that unmatched confession mean? Like,
I'm not sure. I guess, like,
they couldn't like match him to the murder?
Yeah.
Oh,
maybe?
Okay. Yeah. So the victim said they're still trying to figure out if it was him or yeah. Someone else. Mm-hmm. All right.
Samuel Little claims to have strangled more than 93 people between 1970 and 2005, though many of his victims' deaths were first ruled as accidental or overdoses. Many of Little's victims' bodies were never found, and the confessions he provided along with a sketch could not be matched to a known missing person. Little's confessions may not be accurate, as at the time of his recorded confessions, which were 2019, nearly 40 years had passed since some of the murders.
Oh, yeah.
I guess I, like, yeah. like years go by, you know, you don't really
remember someone's face.
Yeah, or like, you know, I guess it is not so much, not only the face, but like what happened in between before he murdered her. You know, I'm trying to get at like little pieces, I guess details here and there are mismatching. And I guess it needs to be like 100% accurate, right? Yeah. Or at least 100% accurate for him to be convicted.
I think so.
Yeah.
And being detected must be so hard having to deal with that, where they keep going back and forth and they're just like,
tough job.
Hey, you know what? I was watching SWAT Murders, that they have that on Tubi now, right? And a lot of those killings, they were like, and I don't get it, they were all tied down with center blocks.
What?
Yeah. Like any victim that they found in the swamp, they were tied down with some kind of brick.
Yeah, so
it keeps them down.
It keeps them down in the water.
But they're already dead.
Well, yeah.
So they don't come up.
Oh.
So
they don't get cut.
Mm-hmm. Well, they did anyway.
Michelle would be a lousy cop.
I would. I'm not going to lie.
The first victim was Mary Ann from Miami, Florida. Between 1971 or 1972, Little confessed to strangling an 18 or 19-year-old black transgender woman in 1971 or 1972 and leaving her body in the Everglades near Highway 27. Little remembered her name as Mary Ann or Mary Ann. She was between 5'6" and 5'7", weighing about 140 pounds. Little does not believe her body was ever found.
Probably here in the swamp somewhere around there.
Yeah, alligators.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what he thought when he found out she was transgender.
Probably what prompted him. Well, you know what? Maybe he didn't know until afterwards.
All right.
And then he, you know. Because you know what? And now that you brought that subject up, a friend of mine and I were discussing it, right? About how these transgenders, you don't really know that they're men, because some do their makeup really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
Unless he has an Adam's apple in it. You can tell. Because have you ever seen those TikTok videos too, where they're like, I haven't told my man that I'm transgender or whatever? Or like on Facebook, I don't know whether it's always some kind of story. I don't know how to tell him I'm transgender. And she doesn't look like she's a man. She looks feminine. She looks very feminine. She had makeup, all beautiful hair and face, and I wouldn't have guessed it. But that one could go back and forth, because like, what if he did confess to him that he was transgender and he got upset about it and that's why he killed him? Her.
Yeah, possibility.
Right?
Yeah.
It's possible.
Maybe. The second victim was named Ruth from Little Rock, Arkansas, killed in 1992 or 1994. Little confessed to strangling a 24-year-old black female in 1992 or 1994. She was between 5'5" and 5'7", weighing about 200 pounds. Little recalled he stayed with her for about 3 days as they shoplifted together, and that her name may have been Ruth. Little was arrested for shoplifting from Kroger by the Little Rock police on April 20th, 1994. Little said that after killing her, he placed her body in a pile of branches near a cornfield.
I wonder why he killed her. She was like his shoplifting buddy.
Maybe made him mad somehow.
Yeah, you never know.
Or he got the itch to kill again and she was just there.
Yeah, true. The next one was in Covington, Kentucky in 1984. Little confessed to strangling a 25-year-old white female outside of a strip club in 1984. Little remembers she had short blonde hair, blue eyes, and a hippie appearance. She was 5'6" to 5'7" and weighed between 130 and 170 pounds. He drove the woman south on Interstate 75 toward Miami, Florida, before driving into a hilly area near the highway. After killing her in the backseat of his car, he left her body on the top of a small hill.
So this was in Kentucky?
Yes.
So he drove her all the way to Miami?
Yes, sir.
Where was the last one?
Las Vegas, Nevada. Little confessed to strangling a thin black female around 40 years old in 1993. She was about 5'5" and weighed 110 to 120 pounds. Little recalls she may have worn a wig over her short hair. After killing her in a hotel room, Little drove her body to the outskirts of Las Vegas and rolled her body down a steep slope. Little says he does not believe her body was ever found. Little sketched all of the four victims mentioned during his confessions in 2019.
So all those four, they weren't like connected to him.
I think they couldn't match him. Yeah. And I'm wondering, well, I guess with those, they weren't able to get DNA from him.
Right.
Yeah. Because I bet half of the DNA they probably got through under nails, scratching, and then maybe from the rape kits.
Yeah.
When, because that was the only one that discussed how tall they were, right?
I think so.
Yeah, so when I kept looking at it, and I was just like, wait a minute, they're all between 5'5 to 5'7.
So he had no age preference, but he would like them small.
Yeah. To kind of overpower.
Yeah.
Be kind of nice to know how tall the other ones were.
What do you think of Samuel Luna?
It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. He was a monster.
Sadistic.
Yeah.
Well, is he still alive?
No, he already died.
Oh, was it through natural causes, or did they give him the chair?
I think it was natural.
Yeah, natural.
They don't do the death penalty anymore unless it's necessary, right?
Yeah.
And it's like necessary, or are they just going to stop doing that altogether?
No, some states do it still.
Yeah.
This is
some states they do it, and some states they don't.
They don't use a chair anymore, though.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, for the gas chamber. Well, some of them, they should bring back a chair for some of them.
Yes. Like little.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Well, that was all for the first episode of season 2, guys.
It was a good one.
Yes.
Very interesting things. Hope you all enjoyed this episode of the 4 True Crime Idiots podcast. Please rate us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, or wherever you may listen. Please follow us, the 4 True Crime Idiots podcast, on all of our social media platforms. All the links will be in the description. Until the next episode,
stay vigilant.
Stay safe.
Beware of your surroundings.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.